book of Philippians. Book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 is where we're at. Philippians 4, 19, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. In glory is talking about is what? Does that mean only in heaven? It's talking about his majesty, his glory, his aura, as we would call it today. And we talked about that, and we talked last week about his riches, not only in glory, but his riches in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, we are rich. Amen? But I don't think we understand that. I really don't. I know I don't understand it completely. But if we can just get a grasp of what in Christ that means, obviously the future riches in Christ come. What are those? What are the future riches that we will experience because we are in Christ? Heaven, eternal glory. Is that a rich? Too many times we as believers think that's the only one. That's not true. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing when? Now. Now. He's given us all of it. Yes, heaven's important. Yes, the eternal state is important. But that isn't the everything of Christianity. Amen. It's the end result. It's the, I can't imagine the riches found in heaven. What are some of the riches in heaven that we can think of? Seeing Christ, being with Christ without sin, the tree of life, the river of water that flows from the throne of God, never-ending worship. Does that mean we're singing all the time? I'm trying to be a little facetious here. Music is worship, but not all worship is music. Amen? There's 12 foundations of precious stones, pearl. And can you imagine all of the saints before us? It will be glory, no question. But God wants us to realize that being in Christ today doesn't mean we should just give up and get out of here. We need to relish, to revel in the blessings he gives today. That's why he's given them. He's given us all these riches, and they're found in Christ. Last week, we found out that when you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, in essence, you become, your new identity is in Christ. You are instantaneously enriched with God's riches. One person's happy about that. Instantaneously. It's not like, oh, we get to have to wait now for heaven. Folks, God has given us the Holy Spirit. For what reason? He is the great comforter. We live in Christ. We are comforted by the Holy Spirit. We are adopted by God the Father. What more do we need? We're instantaneously enriched. In Christ, the present riches of God are found. How are they found? And in him, you have been made. What are you missing? That statement, that verse is very clear. You have been made complete. We are complete in Christ, but we live like if we need more. Is that not true? We're complete in Him. And we aren't trying to keep that completeness. The rest of the verse, right? And He is the head over all rule and authority. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Does that mean that we have to wait for heaven to get all those heavenly blessings? It's not what that's saying. We have been blessed with everything. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a what? New creature, new man. The old has gone, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Very clear. How many get what we're talking about here? We ended last week a couple slides ago. But we're in Christ. We are a new creature. What does that mean? We talked about this briefly. In Adam, all are dead and eternally damned. Who does that include? Everybody that has ever lived, right? But in Christ, we are made alive and eternally glorified. Is there a sense, we talked about this last week and this is a test, is there a sense that we've already been glorified? Yes or no? Yeah, there is. Why do we know that? Romans chapter 8. Every one of those golden chains are past tense. Every one of them. Romans 5, we talked about this. In Adam, we are sinners in the hands of an angry God. In Christ, we are but the elect race, a royal priesthood. Ephesians chapter 2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. What does it mean that we were dead? Were we dead physically? We were dead spiritually. We are not saved only because we can go to heaven. We are saved right now to live a life of righteousness and glorify our Father in everything we say, we do, we think. And this is all true because our identity is no longer just in Adam. Our identity now is in Christ. There are two of them. Let me see that. In Adam, we have flesh. We have sin. In Christ, we have spirit. We have life eternal and glory and joy. Two totally different lives. We have a new identity. In Christ, you enjoy God's riches here and now and for all eternity. This truth of being in Christ is found throughout Scripture. You cannot go into the New Testament and not find in Christ. It's all over. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 says, we have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Now, this is a big deal. Because we have put on something, what does that mean? By logic, we have put off. And there are multiple passages about putting on and putting off. What are we putting off? Okay, some call it the old nature, the old man. Basically, everything that we are in Adam. Because in Adam, we've adopted all of that garbage, all of that nonsense, all of that sin, and we are walking and living like that. How many have ever been there? Nobody? All of us are even there now. We all have flesh. And that is being renewed in knowledge. What does that mean? Renewed in knowledge. If it's being renewed, it's what? There's a problem. Right? So it needs to be renewed. And how is that renewing going to happen? In the knowledge of the image of our Creator. We must know God. Amen. We must know God. We have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of our Creator. In Christ, therefore, what's the result of having this new self, having this new identity in Christ, having this idea of being renewed in the knowledge of the image? What is the result? It's in red. We are now in Christ. There is no Greek, there is no Jew. Now, let me ask you, are there Greeks and are there Jews? Yes or no? Yes, but the distinction within being in Christ is neither Greek or Jew. It doesn't matter if you're bald or hairy. Amen. Some of you should scream to the rafters. It doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man. Doesn't matter if you're Greek or Jew. All those distinctions are irrelevant. The distinction that matters is being in Christ. There is no Greek or Jew. There's no circumcised or uncircumcised. There's no barbarian or Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is all and is in all. By the way, does that sound familiar with another passage of Scripture? This one's found in Colossians chapter 3. Is there another one? What about Galatians chapter 3? Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ. Why? Why to Christ? So that we may be justified by faith. What's the law, by the way? From the law, we know we're what? Sinners. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. Very fair statement. That you may be justified by faith. The law shows us that we need something. We need the Lord so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor. Once we have put our faith and trust in Christ, we are now justified. We are no longer under the law because Christ has fulfilled the law for us. So then what's the result of being out from under the law and in Christ? What is the result of that? For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Now, let me ask you, those of you who are baptized into Christ, does that mean you need to be physically baptized to be saved? No. That means put under Christ. And you did that at salvation. And have clothed yourselves with Christ. Did you go into the closet, get Christ's righteousness, and clothe yourself? Literally? Christ clothed you. Amen? So what happens then? What's the result of that? There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. What does that mean, Abraham's descendants? Remember the song, Father Abraham? Father Abraham had many sons. Let's not sing that. Although this morning, it might not be a bad idea. And there, I remember in a church that I was at, don't you dare sing that song. It's of the Satan. It's of the hell. Well, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible, amen. What does that mean that we are Abraham's descendants by faith? Is Abraham a father of faith found in Scripture? That is exact. I understand that you don't want, you're not the new Israel. Amen and amen. We'll say that to the, absolutely we're not. Abraham was noticed and identified in throughout all Scripture. He is the father of faith. He is the father of Israel. Yes, that is true too. But as you would find out, if you would read the whole context here, who is the descendant of Abraham? Why was Israel even a nation, a peoples? The man Christ Jesus. That's what it's, we are in Christ. The descendant, the whole purpose of descending from Abraham. And heirs according to promise. That does not mean that we get all the promises. That's not what that says. It says heir according to promise. What does that mean? We are his children. And the riches also belong to us. Amen. Christ's children. God's children. You see, all believers are reborn in Christ. They have been reborn in Christ. They are no longer just in Adam. They are now in Christ. You are no longer... Therefore, you are no longer spiritually in Adam. What were we like in Adam? Dead, spiritually. But alive in Christ. How many see that there's a huge change that has taken place to every single believer? I hope it's very obvious. Believers have a new identity. Those verses we just went through, how many of you, you identify yourself as, hi, I'm Tim. Right? What is that identity? Well, it really doesn't bring much, right? If anything. Really, hi, I'm a believer in Christ. Let me show to you who Jesus is. Is that a different identity? I'm Tim Graff. That is my identity physically. But there's so much more important. I'm a believer. I'm a child of the King. I'm a saint. I'm a son of God. Are those important truths that express who we really are? I remember being on Lake Little Split Hand. How many have ever been to Little Split Hand? I was ice fishing on Little Split Hen. They'll be open tomorrow. And as I was just sitting, this group of guys came over and started fishing like 2 feet away. I mean, like, there's my hole. What are you doing? I didn't say that. But I met these gentlemen. They asked me who I was. I said, I'm Tim. Well, what's your last name? Because being in northern Minnesota, everybody knows everybody, so you better give your last name, and now they understand where you come from, your stock. Right? Is that not true? I said, how come you're out here? I said, well, I live right down the road. Oh, so I will know you. Who are you? I'm Tim Graff. What do you do? I'm a pastor. What? Are you crazy? No, I pastor Northland Bible Church in Grand Rapids. Your uncles would roll over in their grave if they knew that. You're a Graff. These trails, how many know the horse trail that out by my house? That horse trail, do you know what that was? That was a snowmobile trail from bar to bar to bar to bar. Who built that? A guy named Alan Graf, my uncle. They couldn't believe it. Then they learned I was a Winkler. That got worse. Just ask Tim Zarin. He married one too. But it's like, that does not identify who I am anymore. Christ does. But does he? Does that make sense? We have a new identity. And because of this new identity, therefore, we have to know what the Bible says about this new identity. How should I live? How should I walk? How should I talk? What am I supposed to? Who am I? That's the question, right? Who am I? Well, there's a problem. Because we have a new identity, we are different. Then Romans 12:2 comes in. Be not conformed to this world. Who's going to be conformed to this world? Every single person in Adam is conformed to this world. They look, they act, they talk like Adam. They're sinners bound for hell. They're conformed to this world. As a new identifying with Christ, we no longer should be conformed to this world. Amen. Instead, we are transformed. How are we transformed? By this renewing of our mind. How is that? Kumbaya? No, it's come and read. It transforms our lives. Why? So why is this important? Why did God put all these new Christians, these new people on this earth, this people that is called the church, that have a new identity, and their identity is in Christ? That was never heard of in the Old Testament. It's so that we can prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Why are we in Christ? So God Almighty is seen in this world and glorified. Amen. That is the very reason we're in Christ now. That's why we have a new identity. 1 John chapter 3 talks about this. It says, see how great love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called the children of God. This new identity means we are a child of the King, because there is a King. His name is Jesus. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us. Why does not the world know us? In other words, why are we weird? That's what that text is saying. Why are we aliens according to the world? And here's why. We're going to, in January, we're going to have a 3 hours worth of the life of Christ every Sunday for a while. And we're going to learn who Jesus is, what he did. How many would agree with me that Jesus is the pinnacle of the history of this world? And he was rejected and hated and killed. And because the world did not know him. The very fulcrum of the entire history and rest of the world is Christ, and they didn't know. Why? Why did that they not know him? Because there was a peoples of God called Israel, and Israel kept God to themselves, and they literally changed who God was. Remember Jonah? I don't want to go tell those people about God. I don't want them to be like him. Righteous. They held it to themselves. They kept it in their own little group. And here we are 2,000 years later, and we know what they did. And the church is mimicking exactly what they did. We have our own church softball leagues. Why? Why? There's church this and church that and church this. And when are you ever rubbing shoulders with the world? How are they going to see? Here's what, and this happens so often. You have your own church. Well, are you too good to play with us? That is the attitude that they think we have. We should be proving them wrong. Amen. Somebody took time enough to share with you who Jesus was. They were so others focused that God used them to share the gospel with us. Amen for that person. Amen. How are we doing for others? Our new identity is in Christ. We've put on a new self. We are in Christ. We are no slaves. We're not Scythians. We're not barbarians. None of that. In other words, how we formerly identified ourselves no longer applies. We are now in Christ. We are Christians. We're followers of Christ, sons of the living God. When asked, even now, we would say, well, I'm an American, or I'm a graph, or I'm a human, or I'm a boy, or I'm a girl, or I'm a... But by the way, all those other terms are not real. They're not real. We are, according to 1 Peter, a chosen people of God, a royal priesthood of God, a holy nation for God. This is the same words, by the way, Peter's using for the church is the same ones he was using for Israel. Now, here's what's cool about it. We are a priesthood. You don't have to go behind the curtain and talk to a priest and have him go offer sacrifices for you. We stand naked before an almighty God. Here I am, Lord. Forgive me. We are no longer products of our past, by the way. God said, all things become new. Everything is past. Everything's old. Amen. Is that a true statement for all those that are in Christ, that are saved? Absolutely. Remember, we are no longer products of the past. We are products of Christ's work on the cross. Do you hear that? We are products of God's work on the cross. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We had learned to live our life independent of God. But now our identity, now our personhood, now our very being is in Christ. And all of that's gone, and there's something brand new. And that happens because, first of all, we're in Christ. Second of all, we love him so much, we are saturated in his word. Now we are children of God. And when he appears, we shall be absolutely like him. We shall see him as he is. Right now, the only thing that this world has to see about God is you. Everyone that is born again is an image bearer of Jesus Christ. You see, too many times, because of Catholicism, because of other religions, the world has been taught, it's how we act determines who we are. That is not a true statement. How many of you ever heard of Hollywood? The church has it down pretty good. It's not what we do that determines who we are. It is who we are that determines what we do. And if we understand that we're in Christ, does that identify us? We are in Christ. Will that determine what we do? Absolutely. A drunkard before salvation walks by the beer store, I don't even know what they got, whatever they call that, and he is now making a choice. That choice is, I'm in Christ now. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Walk on by. Amen? The computer screen is open, full of the wrong garbage, and it is full of garbage. Matter of fact, would you be willing to share your iPad and your iPhone with your spouse or friend? Because let me tell you real close. I'm going to get serious here. And by the way, that should happen all the time. It should be free to anybody to look at. The reality is the algorithms have gotten so good that your history of searches will continue to come up. Not maybe the exact ones, but the same, like pornography. What are your algorithms telling the world? That you're in Christ or you're in Adam? How many understand that? That's a big deal. Since Scripture clearly states we are bought with a price, we are no longer slaves or barbarians, we are in Christ, old things are passed away, all things are new. What does that look like? What does our identity in Christ look like? Now, we've taken an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes to introduce in Christ. How many have gotten and understand what it means? Maybe not technically, but you get the principle in Christ. All believers identify as being in Christ. Amen? All right. I've done the job. Maybe not very good, but I've done my best. Who are you? Who are you? Clearly, everyone that is a believer here is in Christ. That's who you are. You're not a roughneck. You're not a red-blooded American. Although those things may be true in a sense, what matters is that you're in Christ. Amen? What does that mean? Who are we? Well, the Bible helps us understand who we are. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's. Listen. There's a man that I love in this town. He goes around and says, we're all children of God. No, we're not. We are not all children of God. That is a universalistic idea that is absolutely false to Scripture. Believers are the children of God. And this verse is very, he's not talking about, I tell you what, there's a lot of spirits going on in Washington right now. They are not the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of it going on here, and even in churches sometimes. We, the believers, are, those that are in Christ, are children of God. Galatians chapter 4, just after chapter 3, which we just read about being, you're no longer, and by the way, it's interesting, people, if you notice that it was, there's no longer male or female, there's no longer Jew or Gentile, and they say, aha, see that? We're all Israel. If that's the argument, then the LGBTQ plus 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 is absolutely biblical. Because there's no longer male and female either. That's not at all what that text is saying. That text is saying clearly you identify as being in Christ. You are a male or you are a female. But that is it. What matters is, I don't care if you're a male or female, you need to be in Christ. Amen. It's in Christ. Why? Galatians chapter 4 goes on, it's because you are sons. God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls you out, Abba, Father. We are God's Son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. An heir to what? Oh, His sovereign riches. His glory. We will never be God. But we will be able to enjoy all the riches of our dad. All the riches of the Father are ours. And they're ours today. That's why he says, and all my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. He didn't say that so that they all would hope and pray the rapture would happen. He didn't say that so they hope and pray they die, go to heaven. He said that because they can enjoy those riches then and there, and you can too, here and now. Amen. He'll supply all of them. What are some of the riches? You got to look close. There they are. I cannot put them all on there, obviously, but these are just the ones that I've been reading for the last week, couple of weeks. The riches are innumerable, the text says. Unmeasurable, the text says. They're vast. They're beyond thought. What are some of the riches? Well, one of them is I am accepted. This is a big deal today. In Romans chapter 15, verse 7, the Bible says, accept one another then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. I mean, that's the Christian life in a nutshell. But let's just be honest. Rejection is one of the most painful things you experience in this life. Is that not true? What is rejection? It's conditional love. Can be. What does that mean? How many of you remember your parents? Your parents, from the earliest childhood, you probably can remember these things. When you let down your dad or mom and you saw it on their face. How many have been there? Matter of fact, you look at the children here and watch how they work. We constantly strove for acceptance. We would color in a frantic scribble and run up to mom and say, Mom, don't you like my picture? Yeah, it's great. How many understand what I'm talking about? We get done playing a game and, Dad, did I play well? Did I do good? I will tell you, I remember in my life, that saturated my life as a young person. I wanted to please everybody. That doesn't work. You will fail miserably. How many understand this? You want to be accepted by everybody, so you'll say what they want to, what you think they want to hear. Do we do that? The social system in which most of us were raised gave us the impression that if we appeared good, performed well, or had a certain amount of social status, we could finally be somebody. And so we tried to do that. We know if we pleased the coach, maybe he put us in. We did. If that was our focus, if we tried to buddy up with the wrong crowd, by the way, we'll become just like them. Try as we might to gain the approval, we always came up short. Frankly, people do this with God. If I just do this, he'll be proud of me. And if I do that, he'll be happy with me. And then he'll bless me. No, he's already blessed you with every spiritual blessing. There's nothing more to give. He has given you all. And it is immeasurable. Whatever pinnacle of self-identity we are able to achieve, it eventually crumbles under the pressure of rejection or the criticism of self-condemnation. How many of you watch Charlie Kirk even today on some of those clips? Those young LGBT people come up to him and say, well, what about this? And they're all dressed in garb. How many know what I'm talking about? And they're asking, I just want to be accepted. That they think that's going to get them acceptation. Will it? It gets them noticed. Something's wrong. Even in church, we try to do things so we can become an usher, and so I'll do this, and I want to become this, and eventually I want to get to the pinnacle and be a pastor because that's the greatest thing in the world. No, not really. You have been gifted by God in Christ to be the person you are, not become the person you think you are. How many understand that? We strive for acceptance. We cannot do anything to qualify for unconditional and voluntary love. And there's only one person who loves us unconditionally and voluntarily. And who was that? Jesus Christ. We are in him. We labor under the false assumption that if we live perfectly, everybody will accept us. While there is only one who lived his life perfectly, and everybody, this reminds me of the verse we just talked about, everybody rejected him. So why in the world are we trying to get accepted? Jesus didn't do that. He didn't go around, hey, how far are you in the call of duty? He didn't do that. He talked principles of Christ, of God, and his love for us, and his condemnation, his wrath, all of the above. We have churches today who are self-proclaimed seeker-sensitive. That is the exact opposite of what God is trying to tell us. We are in Christ. We are going to be hated. We are going to be rejected. People will not like what you say. Then why is it none of us are being persecuted? Because we're not living in Christ as he chooses us to live in Christ today. That's one of the reasons. I am a product of the work of Christ on the cross. That's my identity that matters. I know who I am now. I'm a child of God. And on the basis for my acceptance is in him, not in man. I do not recognize myself as a sinner bound for hell, but as a sinner saved by grace, by someone who unconditionally loves me. So let me ask you, when someone unconditionally loves you, what good would he hold back from you? He says it, I hold nothing good back from you. But yet, we still, if we could just get the mayor saved, then he'll like us and then we can do what we want to do. The mayor has no interest in your good. He may say that. Only God has your good in his interest. And what else matters? Nothing. I know who I am now. I'm a child of God. And the basis for my acceptance is not because I did something good or right or figured it out. I am accepted by God because God literally, sovereignly chose me before the foundation of the world. And that is amazing. That is out of this world crazy, because I didn't deserve any of it. I am in the Beloved, accepted. I am risen, ascended, and seated on high. Saved from all sin through his infinite grace, with redeemed ones accorded a place. In the Beloved, God's marvelous grace calls me to dwell in this wonderful place. How many of you said today, oh, what a wonderful world today? My wife's looking at me because I said the exact opposite. I came in and said, it's cold outside. I was in my dress socks and dress pants trying to work outside. And why? I lost sight of Christ. I thought I deserved better. God sees my Savior and then sees me. In the Beloved, I'm accepted and free. Do we live like that? I am accepted. Do we really live like that? Acceptance in Christ serves as a basis for our relationship with other people as well. The Bible says, accept one another. Then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise, glory to God, our need for acceptance and belonging are legitimate needs. They are God-given. How many of you do not want to be accepted? We all want to be accepted and loved. I know a family, it just breaks my heart. I talked to the young lady. She learned that I had a granddaughter. And this young lady had two sets of grandparents. All of them were alive, but she really only had one. The other never paid attention, never came to anything, never said anything. They would literally cry themselves to sleep, because their grandparents didn't show any love to them. This young lady, when she learned that I had a grandchild, looked at me and said, don't you ever forget all your grandkids equally. Love them with everything you have. Because I wasn't. We're accepted by God. He doesn't play favoritism. He doesn't choose one over another. He chose us. Do you see the difference? And he loves us all equally and cares for us all equally. This sin that we have this need to be loved, we try to be accepted by lowering our standards, talking what we think they like. The Bible says this in 1 Peter. Peter admonishes, he said, therefore, rid yourself of all malice. That's the word there, malice. And all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Amen, amen, and amen. Christ has accepted you. Malice is a wicked behavior that is often born out of our own sense of inadequacy. How many of you and I would say we're inadequate? Yeah. So we got to prove to everybody else that we're adequate. Jesus Christ is more than adequate and the only one that is more than adequate. We are always going to lack. Peer pressure. To be someone we're not is so powerful. Or even, here's the issue, we need to understand that there are young ladies that have been molested as little children, and they carry that with them, and they identify as a victim. Folks, even if that happened, you are no longer a victim. That does not define you. Christ does. Christ does. Those sins in the past, if you read the Bible, they're in the past. Christ loves you. Who cares what anybody else thinks? Literally, who cares? It doesn't matter. We'll be working with a young lady right now, or she's an older lady now, but that's what identifies her. She identifies as a victim because it happened to her when she was a little girl. And what's the answer? Christ! That's why a Christian should never walk around like dopey, woe is me. Your identity is totally changed when you became a believer. So this peer pressure is so powerful in the pursuit of man's approval, so prevalent that people will compromise even their most basic moral principles to gain the acceptance of others. Lacking this, they begin to scheme and manipulate people or present a false image to gain approval. When this fails, they envy those who seem to have what they don't have. For instance, and it's known throughout, blackface. How many understand that word? Why do people do that? Dress up like a girl. Why do they do that? Dress up like a boy when they're a girl. Why? They're looking for acceptance. They're looking for love. They're looking for it in all the wrong places. Because in Christ, and only in Christ, are we free from trying to be accepted by other people. It does not matter. So strong and devious is this pressure, this craving to be significant apart from Christ. We don't. There's no need to compete. There's no need to gain that. When you know you are in Christ, you no longer need to be threatened by people or compete with them because you are already secured and loved. You have Christ. The Christian is to be like a newborn baby who knows nothing about guile, nothing about hypocrisy, and nothing about envy. They don't understand that stuff. All they know, I don't even need to go there. There's two things, and I'm not going to go there. The Bible then says we're just supposed to be like that, like babies that desire, long for, panteth after the pure milk of the word. That by it you may what? Grow thereby. Because it's there we discover our true identity in the word. Sure, we will sometimes experience the rejection of man, but we will never be cast away by our heavenly Father. He has promised to never leave us or forsake us. We need to long for the word of God so we can taste the salvation that he freely has given to us. We can devour the kindness that he showers upon us. We can embrace with every aspect of our being without this fear of rejection the great submersion of love that he has given us. And then in turn, what will we do? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This world is filled with anti-in-Christs. And unfortunately, believers are adapted to follow the same ilk. Folks, we're in Christ. We don't need to be ashamed of that. Some people, I know I have, I can't wait till I get to heaven. I can just say, na 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 na, I was right, told you. Ugh, that's ridiculous. But the idea that we can totally rely on Christ and they can't, there's nothing they can rely on. Look at folks, the world is screaming because the planes are on the ground. They can't get their food, this bothers me so much. All the poor people are dying, and they show a picture. This is a poor lady in front of her marble-topped island. Oak and stainless appliances. She's hurting because she doesn't have her food. How many understand this? The world's appetite in Adam is never filled. Unfortunately, the Christian's appetite is never filled either until we see Jesus. But as you're being fed the word day in and day out, you can understand what in Christ really means and glorify your Father so this world at least has a beacon of light and hope. Amen? We don't need to compete because we are accepted by Christ, accepted by God Almighty. What more is there? I'll never forget. I was a soccer player when I was a kid. I actually, 125 pounds since from a sophomore till about 10 years into my marriage, 5 years. 125 pounds. That's changed. But I was very light of foot. How many understand that? In college, they called me the blonde blur. I was proud of that. I was accepted by them until I hurt my back. In high school, I played soccer at the biggest tournaments I could. 2 years in a row, I was given, it was taken from me because of my school, but they, MVP of that, the whole state. I get to my senior year. I just won the MVP award of the state. And my coach gets up there and we're giving away the MVP of our soccer team. And he gave it to a freshman guy. And then pastor called me and said, Tim, I'm so sorry. That will never happen again. So at that point, I was pretty upset because it was interesting. He gave it to this guy and this guy just, he looked at me while going up there. He just was in, what in the world? I played that game too long and I'm still playing that game. How many understand that? And the reason I'm still playing that game is because I'm not in Christ as I should be. I don't know him like I should. How many understand that? I deserve 50-degree weather and sunshine. No, no, you don't. I'm in Christ now. Christ knows exactly what I need. Amen? Too many of us are living like that soccer dream. How many understand that? We are. We think we deserve things. We get frustrated because people don't know we deserve it. We don't deserve anything. But our love for the Lord says everything. Listen, do we really love him? Then know him. Because when we know him, we'll live like we're in Christ because we are. What does it look like? Number one, amongst a million, so it's going to be here for a while, I'm accepted by God. How many are overjoyed with the riches that I have been accepted by God? Man. I'll give you one more illustration, then we'll leave. What do you think it was like at an orphanage? When the new parents would come in and they'd look over this orphanage to be able to adopt one or two. And you could tell the difference between the people. There are people come in with straw hats, callous fingers, and bibs. And they're coming to adopt a child for what? Then you get someone in a suit, a tie, and they're all primed up. This, you know, if they were outside, they drowned in a rainstorm. You know those people? They're looking for prestige. I can't have a child, so I need one. I want one. Like a puppy dog. Like a status symbol. And then you have the people that come like Christ, who literally did this. Chose you out of millions to be his child. And accepted you who you were, who you are now for sure. Let me ask you, is there anything greater than being accepted by God? There is no greater riches. How many times do we remember that during the day when it's snowing? When you don't catch any fish, when fill in the blank. Folks, we have been accepted by God. That is a phenomenal, unbelievable riches that we enjoy today. Do we live like it? I pray so. Mr. Gaiman, can you close in prayer?
Please stand. I'll close our time together in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for our time this morning. Thank you for the power of your word. I pray that more and more each day we would get a fuller grasp on what it means to be in Christ. we truly have all the riches that you have promised us. We just forget, and then we fail to live like who we are. I pray that that would change for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.